Hey Dane, how you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you going?
Great. What have you been up to?
Well, just been doing a few phone calls to people all around the world and catching a few surfs.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Oh, don't be jealous. Anyone can do it.
Well, true. The surf's been pumping here as well. I'm on an island at the moment and it's pretty lush as well, actually.
It's very big.
But the surf's not pumping, so that's the only thing missing.
Cool.
So I wanted to share with our internet marketing start a membership site that Sarah and I have created just a little bit about you because you've introduced me to internet marketing and I see you as the man, the mastermind.
Well, that's very kind.
So I started out doing this, I think it was 8 years ago. Was that when was your first workshop?
The first workshop would have been around about 8.5 years ago, yep.
Yeah, I was at that, and that really introduced me to the field. And I started doing SEO long tail phrase words, including a location. And through doing that, I've ranked hundreds of things on Google with videos and Facebook and websites and images, which are still ranking today. And so this is sort of the direction I went in, and you sort of encouraged the building the websites at that time, which I then learnt from Steve-O, a good mate of yours. And so we wanted to just touch base with you with what kind of things you'd recommend for people starting out in this field.
Right, so it's a pretty general question. It might be worth refining that a little bit. Give me a little bit of a scenario that we can work with.
Okay, so if it's someone who has a passion, so we're trying to bridge the gap between what are you passionate about and how can you create a service or a means to create some financial freedom through the internet. So that could be marketing yourself or someone else or affiliating someone else's product, but being able to work through the internet to create a lifestyle.
Okay, so the short steps are you need to find a market. So a market is a group of people with something in common, and you want to find out what sort of challenge that market is having that needs solving. And that's where you will formulate your offer. So if you're talking about someone who's good at something or they're an expert at something, they may already know their market. They may have a market available to them. Let's say they were making arts and crafts. If they were going down to the market and selling jewelry, for example, then that's literally going to the markets. And the people who come and look at the jewelry at the stall, they are the prospects. And if they like the jewelry, then they'll buy the jewelry. So what we want to do is replicate that, but we take it online. So instead of going to the markets, we might create our own website, which becomes a little marketplace, if you like. And then we need to attract people to that website to show them the jewelry, which will essentially be on display. We'll have nice pictures and descriptions and some words making the jewelry seem like the perfect solution to the prospect's challenge, which is, how do I look fantastic or how do I get into a certain culture? The jewelry will be the pathway for that, and the prospect will place an order. Then the jewelry will get shipped to the customer, and you get to bank the profit, which will be the difference between what someone pays you and what it costs you to make the jewelry.
Oh, that's gold. Yeah, that's it. That's what we're trying to help people do.
So really, it's just a case of defining who your market is and communicating directly with them in a way that they understand and feel resonates with them. So it's always got to be relevant. And then it's about making your offer very clear. What is it that you are providing? How much will it cost? How does it get delivered? And why should they trust you? And if that can happen, then there's just some technology involved in making that happen in terms of things like the website to represent your offer, the shopping cart that will process the money. And then there's slightly advanced things like an email system that will capture customer details for you to correspond with them in the future.
Nice. That's great. Yeah, well, at the moment on the IMS membership site, we cover sort of how to customize your WordPress website, which is the platform that we recommend. We talk about how to add images and content and video, and then the basics of online SEO, covering a little bit of design, and then how to get traffic to your site. When you need to launch, what are some tactics to do that? A little bit on social media. And then sort of the key to it all to research your niche and then the possibility of affiliate marketing and different tools to use. Would there be anything else you'd recommend adding to that list of what we're offering at the moment?
Well, I think you've got the fundamentals. You know, you'll need a domain name, a website, a shopping cart, an email system, and you'll need to be able to write the offer. So something to do with copywriting or words that sell is another way to think of that is good, because really that's the most important thing. The most important thing to have if you want to be successful online is you need an offer that people will accept and pay you for. If you can come up with that, then the rest becomes easier, because eventually you can make sales and you can take that money that you're making from selling and then you can pay somebody to do the things that you're currently teaching.
That's great too, yeah. That's what we want, isn't it?
It is what we want. So I started out learning the things that you teach, and now even though I know how to do those things, I don't log in or do any of those things because it's not the most effective use of my time. The most effective use of my time now is to spread the message about my business and to fulfill my coaching obligations that I'm selling from my website. So I have a team now who I've hired from the profits of my business to look after things like the website and the email system and the shopping cart. So that's the sort of evolution of it. Is you probably starting out on a budget, which is the main reason that someone would learn how to do all these things. And it's probably really the only reason you would do it, unless you want to be a website developer or a graphic designer for a living. You would only bother learning about it if you're on a budget. If you have a budget or you can invest in your business, then you would quickly switch from how to who. And you would be looking to hire people who know how to build a website and hire people who know how to write sales copy and hire technical people who can hook up your cart. Because when I started out online, it just took me a long time. It took me about 9 months until I made my first sale. But if you could have someone else build all this for you, you could be in business within a week. It's really just hinging around having a compelling offer. So that's where I'd put most of my attention. I'd put 80% of my attention to crafting a brilliant offer and the rest of my attention to the mechanical bits that support that offer.
Hey, yeah, I like that. The 80-20 rule seems to be a really popular format.
Well, the 80-20 rule is just a very simple idea that not many people seem to be aware of, and it applies to everything. It applies to food, clothing, real estate, finances, and it's simply that 80% of your usage or results will come from 20% of the inputs or the things. So if you think about your wardrobe, assuming that you're not living on a hippie commune, like if you're just a regular mum or dad in a normal sort of house, then probably 20% of your wardrobe would be worn 80% of the time. You probably have a favorite t-shirt, shoes and shorts, for example, that you wear most of the time, and then there's other items in your wardrobe that you hardly ever use. Now, if you want to think about this in terms of business processes, it's crazy to think that all the business processes are equally important. They're just not. There's some things that are way more important, and there are some things that aren't that important. So it's far more important to work on your sales offer than it would be to spend a lot of time fussing over what kind of font to use on your website.
Okay. Yeah, so prioritizing what is the 20% that's going to give you the 80% return.
Yes, and when people are starting out, it's a very common mistake to spend 80% of their time on the 20% that doesn't matter, like a lot of ego-related things for having a business, like registering the business, getting business cards, having a sign placard, like even worse would be having an office and all of the things that are just peripheral things around having a business that relate not in any way whatsoever to the important thing, which is having an offer that someone will pay you money for.
That's it. And do you want to share a little bit about what you offer with your group, that with your business mentoring group?
Well, in my case, it's been because I have a serious business background before I came online, I was able to bring a lot of skills to the table to offer my customers who hadn't been through the same thing. So one of the four main areas that I help people with, and one of those is selling and converting, because if you can't sell or convert your traffic into an offer, you're not going to have a business, and it's a fundamental skill. Another one is team and growing the business, because at a certain point, you can only get so far. Let's go back to the jewelry situation. If you are making jewelry and selling it at the markets and there's only one you, there's a limit to how much jewelry you could make. So I had a friend who was doing that exact business, and at some point he went over to Indonesia and he started recruiting villagers to make the jewelry for him, and he could make and produce a lot more jewelry. He actually sells millions of dollars worth of jewelry, which he couldn't possibly make by himself. So he's engaged a team and scaled. Another area that I help businesses with, which sounds a little strange, is actually improving themselves, because a lot of people have thinking habits and routine issues that are causing them to not be successful. So this self-effectiveness topic is critical. You really have to think a different way if you're going to have your own business than the way you were taught going through school, then university, and then working in a job. We throw out ideas like 9 to 5 or the 8-hour day, and we start to take on a more risk, more reward type way of thinking. And we have to have a different relationship with money than we may have had as an employee. So most people get a job, get a mortgage, and then they're kind of trapped for the next however long. So we have to think about living life in a different way, and we have to manage our emails properly, and we have to set up a routine so that we get things done. So that's the third area. And there's one more area that I help people with in their business, which is basically the business model. So it's like figuring out how they want to sell the thing that they're selling. Is it a one-time product? Is it a recurring product? Are they selling their own product or someone else's, or a combination? Is it a high ticket item, which means an expensive product, or is it a low ticket item, a cheap product but on high volume? Are they going to sell information, or are they going to provide a service? So the business model, pricing and packaging topic is something that I've had a lot of experience with. And the thing is, because I now work with hundreds of people at the same time, I have a great database. So it's like I have this little warehouse of information in my head that I can help people with. So when they join my membership, they already have a business and they're already making sales. And I'm just working on those four areas to really help them tune up and to make leaps and bounds of progress, rather than the first stepping stones, which is where your course meets them.
That's great. Yeah, I can see how you've just helped so many people just go from big to even bigger.
Yep.
And what would be like a success story with one of your coaching clients?
What sort of success have I had?
Yeah.
One of them who first started speaking to me about 4 years ago was not quite making $1 million a year, and he asked me to help him replicate what I'd been doing. And I said, sure. So right now, 4 years later, he's just tipping over the $26 million a year mark, and he's well on his way to $100 million a year. And I think he'll get there because he's about to start doing infomercials on TV networks. So he's going to have a massive growth now.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's quite an extreme example, but there's plenty of little examples. I saw a message today in my community where an American client of mine who lives in the UK found out that one of his relatives was sick, and he was able to hop on a plane and go back to California to be with the family. And he just remarked how good it was to have a location-independent business that works wherever he is. And he didn't have that in place before. So over time, you can remove some of the restrictors that naturally occur in traditional worlds. And I could give you another example of that. I just went out to get food today, and I bumped into one of my neighbors. Now, usually when I see this neighbor, I'm in a wetsuit in the elevator because I'm going for a surf. And he saw me today and he goes, have you been for a surf today? I said, I'm going this afternoon. And he said, I think I'm in the wrong job. He goes, what do you actually do? And I said, well, I help business owners. And he says, do you have your own business? And I said, yes, I do. And he goes, yeah, what do you do? And I said, well, I help them grow their business and make more profit. He goes, that's what I do. He goes, today's my work at home day. It's Wednesday today. And I said, well, today's my work day, because I mostly only work Wednesday. And it turns out he does a similar thing to me, but he does it for a bank as an employee. So he's running in a different set of rules. He has to do Monday to Friday. He's got to work for lots of bosses. He probably gets a lower income than what I would generate. And he has much less freedom and capacity to work on projects that excite him. But he's just in the old system. So it is just a different way of thinking. Now, the good news is that he's keen to buy me a beer and find out more about what I do. So he's very interested in the new way. And I'm so motivated to share this idea that I'm writing a book at the moment. It's actually written. And this book is where I would send people who are interested in learning more. It's going to be called Work Less, Make More. And I really think it's possible, because I've seen it not just with me, but with many, many students over the last 8 or 9 years have gone through the program. And in fact, Steve-O, who's a contributor to one of your trainings, was sitting in my very first workshop as well, and he ended up quitting his job and building a nice software business.
That's a classic, yeah. Steve-O's a legend, isn't he?
Yes.
Ah, don't have enough time or respect for that man. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I really can relate what you're saying there with the freedom of moving, like, because I've been traveling now for a few years and 9 months in Asia and then a year traveling around Tassie, and I didn't take my laptop and I just used my phone and I was still blogging. I worked on some customers' websites and did videos and did it all from my phone. So the freedom there to be able to travel and just do everything from your phone is just insane. I just love it.
It is good, and you go up and down the coast, and it's great to be able to do that.
Yeah. And is there, I also wanted to ask, why do you do what you do?
Well, I had a high-pressure job running Mercedes-Benz dealerships and a big salary, but I was heading off to work in my car every morning and kissing my family goodbye and then disappearing for 8 or 9 hours and coming home stressed and feeling unhealthy and angry, and I didn't want to keep doing that. I didn't want to become a bitter old man droning it out for cranky bosses. I noticed that my clients were predominantly business owners. They were far more flexible in their lifestyle than me. And I felt that I was undervaluing myself. I was making about $300,000 a year, and I had friends who were making $100,000 a month online. And I figured that I'm undervaluing myself based on that they're probably not that much more special than I am. They seem like pretty regular people. And turns out that I was undervaluing myself, because when I went into the online space, I was able to increase my income. But most importantly, I got my health back. I trimmed down to a really healthy weight. I'm the fittest I've ever been in my life now, because I surf every day. I eat really well. I sleep properly. I spend a lot of time with my family, and I'm now set up for a sustainable life. If you wanted to think of it in the most conventional terms, I would say that I live as if I'm semi-retired. I'm not stressed. I'm not angry. I'm just working on projects that I feel excited about, that interest me, and I can be more selective now because I've got a track record, and it's really exciting. I think I'm in a fortunate situation that I've mostly created for myself, and I believe it's possible for other people to do that, and that's why I said at the beginning of this call, don't be jealous. Choose to do something like I'm doing and get out there and grow your business online, because it's a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, totally. No, I was just jealous because you got the surf and I don't.
But you can move to the surf. I choose to live here. I used to live on 5 acres. It was very quiet and good fresh air and lots of wild animals, but it didn't resonate with me. It wasn't my perfect scenario, and I needed to be near the ocean, and that's why I choose to live at the beach.
Nice. That sounds like you're living the dream.
Well, I dream big, and I want to, you know, craft my life around that, and I encourage others to do that.
Nice. I did have another couple of questions. Who else would you recommend following in this field?
There's really not many people I would recommend you follow in this field. I think, like any industry, there's good and bad. I think that don't restrict yourself to this field. I would be seeking the copywriting greats. I'd be buying the books of people who are actually not even with us anymore to pursue the origins of writing great sales copy. That's really the number one skill to have. And it's an important one that most people don't have on board yet. So even of people who are alive, there's some good material from people like Dan Kennedy. But all the copywriting greats, David Ogilvy and Joe Sugarman, just get into copywriting books and pour over those. But I would also say read whatever you need to read, or follow whoever you need to follow to develop a skill that you feel will have the highest impact in your business. So that's going to change. I've read at least 2,000 or 3,000 books now. I've got so many books that the shelves on my cabinet collapsed. But I've read books on negotiation, communication, meditation, a lot of mindset and cognitive thinking type books, books on management, selling, etc. But I think for now, if you're into the website thing and getting your business online, go and learn about copywriting from the greats, like Breakthrough Advertising from Eugene Schwartz, anything from Claude Hopkins, Joseph Sugarman, Robert Bly, Dan Kennedy. These people were the people who were selling the stuff in the old days. Also have a look at the Gary Halbert Letter, which is online for free. And I'm very good friends now with the Halbert children, the children of Gary Halbert, two of them at least. And that stuff was instrumental in my early days. And also anything from Jay Abraham.
That's great. There's some good insights there.
Definitely.
Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
One last question.
Yeah.
What would you do if you were me?
If I was that good looking and chilled, I guess I'd be, my face would hurt because I'm smiling so much.
I'm blushing.
I think you're doing what you're doing. I would work out what it is that makes you happy and see if you're there or if you need to build a bridge to that. And if there's something that needs to be done, then take those steps to move across the bridge.
Well, yeah, I feel like I'm pretty much living the dream. I do a lot of things that make me really happy. And this last sort of step that I could realize more dreams is just more financial freedom, which I'd only want to really just help the environment and maybe build an orphanage and just share that with the community. And so, yeah, I guess that's why I'm getting more involved in this membership site again and just wanting to create that financial freedom to share.
Excellent.
Because I think that's the greatest gift is when you give, and that's what makes me happy. I just constantly give, and it's just so good.
I feel really good. It is good. You're a good person, and you attract good energy around you. So I think that nurturing capacity and tolerance is a great skill to have as a teacher.
Thanks, yeah. Well, I had one last question, and this was, what did you learn from your mum and your dad?
From my mum, I think I learnt communication skills. She's a very good networker. She's probably the most prolific and confident networker of anyone I've ever met. You can speak to complete strangers at any time, anywhere. I mean, you can't walk down the street without her having conversations with strangers. So she has no barrier. I think that was an interesting thing that I might have picked up from her. And that definitely came from her father, who I spend a lot of time with. So I actually spent a lot of time with my grandparents. And recently I've been even spending time with my great-grandparents via the diaries that he wrote. My great-grandfather documented everything as he traveled around the world. And I've actually, through the family, have printed out his diaries. And it's just fantastic reading about his trips to Japan and Russia and America and Africa. So I think it is good to get back into your history. My mum is also very persistent and she can be fairly persuasive, and you definitely don't want to play Monopoly with her. She's got a vindictive streak. Yeah, she there's none of that letting the kid win type thing. She always thrashed me at Monopoly, and I think that it taught me to fight hard when I'm playing competitive games. I didn't get the easy thing. Not like kids now, you know, like where everyone's a winner and they get participation awards and they hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Like back in my day, it was hard competitive environment.
Yeah.
There was winners and losers, you know? So I've actually only in the last year or two have I started to relax my competitive streak. But I was very competitive and driven throughout my entire career. And hanging around people like you has probably influenced me a little more, just to be more chilled and cooperative and collaborative and not be concerned that other people are doing things. I'm not needing to chip them down or prove that I'm the alpha male anymore. What may have been more like that in the difficult environment that I used to work in, the car industry, which is a really dominating, aggressive, tough industry. From my dad, he has tremendous general knowledge. He could finish an entire game of Trivial Pursuit in one turn, you know, like without having anyone else have a go. And there was one time his last move, the final question, when he got to the middle and he was after the last piece of pie, was what was the Warner Brother catchphrase at the end of the movie? And the answer was, that's all, folks. And he won the game. But for him, I learnt critical thinking. He's a thinker. He was a chemical engineer. He worked in big companies and also had his own small business. And he was very handy with tools. So I learnt skills. I can use screwdrivers and hammers and saws, and I can weld and fix things. So I've got a lot of dad skills. You know, I can tie knots and I can pack a car tight and fit things into stuff and work stuff out. So he gave me those sort of pragmatic life skills. So between those two, I've ended up being well-rounded and had great parents. No complaints there. They genuinely cared for us and worked hard and made sacrifices and did their very best to send us to good schools and live in a nice area and just a super normal sort of situation. You know, there was no abusive parents. They're still together now, and they're good people.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear that. That sounds like, yeah, you were lucky on
Well, I was just lucky. There's no other way to explain that. I think if you were born a white male in a Western country, you've kind of got the jackpot. I think Warren Buffett talks about that. It's like winning the lottery, because there's still, unfortunately, in the world, a lot of racism and gender bias and all of these things. So I realized that I've had a good start. It'd be silly to throw that away and, you know, not perform the best I could in life, because we have no excuse not to.
Well, yeah, you've really inspired me. You know, before I met you, I was sort of promoting festivals and really about doing sort of community sort of stuff. And learning the stuff from you sort of helped sort of drive me in that line of getting more into the internet marketing. And through that, I created a lot more financial freedom, to the point where I was charging $200 an hour for a consultation, and now taking it to the next level with this membership site. So I can't thank you enough for your inspiration and guidance and all the stuff that you put out there to the community. It's just, it really touches my heart how you give so much. And I have a lot of respect for you, James.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm glad that you've come along so far and continuing on that trajectory and serving your audience with passion and integrity.
Thank you so much. Same. Yeah, you are. You're the man.
Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate your time and sharing your knowledge. And I'm sure you're going to help to inspire lots of other people through this. And can't thank you enough for everything. I really am so grateful for you and your wisdom and your blog. I just love going on your blog and reading the things you share. And yeah, I really recommend anyone else to check that out. I'll put a link to that below.
Thank you.
Thanks.